is linked to that value we provide. This is PepsiCo.
Thank you to our sponsor this morning, and welcome everybody to the second day of the Democratic National Convention 2020. I am Ben McClure, State Party Chair and Delegation Chair. It is great to see everybody's faces this morning as we rise and shine, and I'm very excited to introduce our co-host this morning, the first Vice Chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, my friend Felicia Martin. Good morning, Felicia. In unmuting process.
Good morning, everybody. It's good to be here with everyone this morning, and I am sorry that I am having a few difficulties with my internet this morning, but you know, that's the way it goes, right? We're all ready to go here this morning. I am indeed glad to be with everyone.
I have to say, there are so many technical glitches that could be affecting all of us right now. And I am just so amazed at the production of the convention last night. I actually spoke to some of the convention staff. Normally there's something like 20 satellite uplinks in the course of a Democratic convention. I don't think this is a public number. This year it's 618 in the course of the 4 days. And as folks noticed last night, it is almost flawless, intermingling just the most incredibly vast quantity of different kinds of video, different people being brought in from across the country, and all coming from this massive production facility in Milwaukee. It was pretty amazing. We have a very exciting rundown of speakers this morning, which I'm really excited to review momentarily. I'd love to take a second just to remember what happened last night. Felicia, what did you most carry with you into this morning?
Oh my gosh. Last night was so exhilarating after looking at those personal stories that captivated my imagination, but captured my heart, entered my spirit. And I'm telling you, the way everything was interwoven, and the highlight of the night, of course, was former First Lady Michelle Obama just mesmerized me. And it was like this beautiful concerto at the end of a great symphony all night. And I just sat there to decompress for about 20 minutes, and I kept getting more and more excited about our first day, and to hear how so many people have been impacted by this, I can't even find the word, lack of leadership, the incompetency, and how it has impacted everyday citizens on every single level of their life. But my God, last night, hearing how committed people were and were so open to share what has happened to them over the last 3.5 years, it gave me hope. It gave me hope. So that's where I am, hopeful. And it left me hopeful. And I'm so excited for the rest of our convention.
I feel the same way. I have to say, I love in-person conventions. There's something amazing about it. But somehow, for me at least, and I'm curious about what other folks feel about this, there's something more intimate about having people sitting down and just having a conversation. Like Michelle Obama's speech would have been impossible in a regular convention because it was so personal. And it felt like you're just in the room with her having a conversation about something really important. And there were moments that simply wouldn't have worked in a hall or worked watching at home, watching other people react to a live and in-person speech. Another thing that I learned from the convention team is that when people were starting to work on their speeches, they did them as though they were talking to, you know, thousands of people. And they would have these pauses, and they'd have these, you know, this kind of emotional cadence that was built for a speech. And they realized very quickly that that just didn't work in this medium. And so everyone had to kind of learn a different style of giving an address that made sense for something where, you know, you're right up close and you're kind of talking to the individual viewer in their room. And I did not know how it would work. And frankly, some people's speeches accomplished this better than others last night, without naming any names. But when you got to Michelle Obama's speech, and I thought Andrew Cuomo did this actually really powerfully as well. That was something I remember. I thought Bernie Sanders' speech about the stakes. The specifics of what the policies would do to make people's lives better. It felt like we were being taken seriously and communicating in a way that was very real. And that it's so hard to do that in a mass speech setting, and something that I thought was captured so powerfully. And watching that compared to the Trump in-person rally in Oshkosh, which I like, that is someone who is desperate for approval. It's all about him and it's nothing about the person actually watching. Was like, told the whole story of the choice in this race.
Absolutely.
Felicia, anything else that you remember most taking away from last night?
Just piggybacking on what you said, Chair Wickler, we the people was front and center. Truly the Democratic Party knows what's at stake, understand how to connect with people on the most visceral level, and having this big tent and seeing John Kasich, Bernie Sanders, and all the others come in, lend their voices, and saying at this moment in US history, it is beyond party. It has to be about we, the people, who American citizens are, are we defined by our values, and how we are living that out in a most meaningful way that we are able to take into consideration people from all walks of life, irregardless of your political stripe. The stakes are high, and we are here for we the people. That was clear, evident, and front and center last night. It was so good. It was so good. I'm so unprofessional, but it was so good. It was so good.
Can I just see, for folks that are on video, if last night was below expectations, do a thumbs down. If it met expectations, do thumbs up. And if it was below your expectations away, raise your hand. I see a lot of hands. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool.
It was way cool, Ben.
So we have a really exciting lineup of folks today. We have a series of great speakers. We have some Wisconsinites. We have some national leaders. I think we'll introduce each person as they go. But one thing I'm really excited about is that the Attorney General of the state of Wisconsin, who I'm proud to call a fellow Madisonian and near neighbor, is with us this morning, fighting the good fight for all of us. Often that means suing the Trump administration, and it means working for justice in our own state. I'm delighted to introduce our Attorney General, Josh Call.
Thank you, Ben, and thanks to everybody who's here today. Thank you for making time for this. I just wanted to say a few quick things here this morning while I have an opportunity. I assume you're all here today because you're big Parks and Rec fans, and so we are sort of the opening act before we get further along. But wanted to say one thing. To your point, just a few days before the election, in 2018, I participated in an event. I was one of the earlier speakers that involved Senator Baldwin and Governor Evers, and the main speaker was Barack Obama. This was in Milwaukee, I think it was the Friday before the 2018 election. And, you know, we all know what a great speaker President Obama is, but to hear him speak after nearly 2 years of hearing Donald Trump speak just about every day, it was so striking to hear a national leader talk about their compassion for the American people, their empathy, doing what's right, talking about somebody besides themselves, It was such a stark contrast. And last night I had that exact same feeling watching Michelle Obama give that incredibly powerful speech about what's at stake in this election. It can be easy to forget what it's like to have leadership that actually fights for people day in and day out, and that is committed to helping improve the lives of the American people, because it has been now 3.5 years since we have had that kind of leadership on the national stage. There are so many critical issues at stake in this election. You know, one of the big issues in my campaign when I ran and Governor Evers' campaign was this lawsuit that is seeking to end the Affordable Care Act. I am proud that we not only have withdrawn from that lawsuit, but now that that case is before the Supreme Court, we joined other states in arguing that the Supreme Court should uphold the Affordable Care Act. The stakes in that case is healthcare for millions and millions of Americans, protections for people with a pre-existing condition, the ability of young adults to stay on their parents' coverage. It's a critical case, and we are now on the right side of that. And President Trump is on the wrong side of that. He is arguing that the Affordable Care Act should be ended. Never mind that he, 3.5 years into his presidency, has no plan for how to replace it. Joe Biden, on the other hand, wants to build on the ACA and expand access to affordable health insurance coverage. Another huge issue is our environment and climate change. Donald Trump is at best a climate change skeptic at a time when we need bold action to protect our climate for future generations. There has been case after case where we have challenged Trump-era environmental policies. It is remarkable the rate at which they attack laws that protect clean water, clean air, and overall our environmental protection system. With a Joe Biden administration, we would have somebody who's fighting to strengthen our environmental protections and to fight climate change. And then one other issue I want to mention briefly is our fight against the coronavirus. The president is totally ill-equipped to fight this virus. He has downplayed it. He has suggested it would just go away. He has promoted miracle cures that haven't been proven to work. But what he has not done is led the country. Early in the pandemic, I led a letter that 16 AGs were part of calling for the president to use the Defense Production Act to make sure that we had sufficient critical supplies for things like testing and personal protective equipment. The president still hasn't used that authority. And he has repeatedly undermined our ability to fight this virus. We need a president who is going to do what he can to drive down new coronavirus cases and then invest in rebuilding our economy so that the millions of Americans who have had financial strain that's resulted from this virus can get back on their feet and we can rebuild this economy effectively. Those are three of the critical issues. We could go on and you're going to hear about many others. But what this election is about, more than any particular issue, as Joe Biden has said, is the soul of this country. We have a president who has fostered racism, xenophobia, division, hate, who has indulged in conspiracy theories, who lies over and over and over again, and as Michelle Obama laid out last night, is just not up to the task of leading this country. This president has used authoritarian tactics, attacking peaceful protesters in our nation's capital, using unidentified federal agents in Portland. We deserve better leadership for this country. And Joe Biden can bring exactly that kind of leadership. He knows what it means to fight for working families across the country, and that's what he's gonna do for families here in Wisconsin. He knows what it means to think about his decision through the lens of somebody other than himself, what it means to stand up for the people of this country. And we all have a crucial role to play. I don't need to tell you about the importance of Wisconsin. Having been on a few Zoom events with Ben, I have zero doubt that Ben has talked about the importance of Wisconsin. And I also want to talk about a point that I know he's also made, which is how important organizing is to our efforts. Organizing is important in any election, particularly in a state like Wisconsin. And just to give you a few stats that Ben and I have probably both used, three of the last five presidential elections in Wisconsin were decided by less than one percentage point. You all have probably already heard my joke about how Governor Evers won by 1.2 percentage points in Wisconsin, or from my perspective, a blowout margin. I won by 0.65%. This is a hard-fought state. It may very well be a very close election, and organizing is going to matter in this election even more than most, because people are going to be voting in a new way. People are going to need to adjust to a new way to request their ballot, to a new way to send their ballot in. And one of the vital roles that organizers can play is to walk people through that process so that what can seem new and confusing to somebody who hasn't gone through the process before becomes second nature and simple, and so that we can make sure that people's votes are counted in this election. So I know you're all going to be working hard. We've only got about 2.5 months to go until this presidential election. So thank you for all the work you're doing. Thank you for being part of this convention. I look forward to working together with many of you over the months ahead, and let's elect Joe Biden and Kamala Harris as the next president and vice president of the United States.
Thank you, Attorney General Call. We appreciate you. We appreciate the hard work that you've been doing and will continue to do on our behalf, especially in fighting and pushing back against repealing the Affordable Health Care Act. We really do appreciate all that you do. Thank you. Be well. Now it is my distinct honor and pleasure to introduce the mayor of Milwaukee, who has worked hard to get us the convention this year. He is a co-chair of the convention alongside our illustrious Congresswoman Gwendolyn Moore. Tom Barrett was elected Milwaukee's 40th mayor on April 6, 2004, and has been reelected in 2008, 12, 16, and again this April in 2020. As Milwaukee's chief executive, Tom Barrett has committed himself to making our neighborhood safer by strengthening public safety services, setting a national example for green energy innovation and foregoing partnerships with neighborhood organizations. And he is a founding member of Mayors Against Illegal Guns. And we know how guns have played into many tragedies in US history recently. Tom Barrett grew up on Milwaukee's West Side, graduated college and law school from the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and as a member of both the Wisconsin State Assembly and State Senate, and has served five terms in the U.S. Congress. Milwaukee's Mayor, Tom Barrett.
Well, good morning, Felicia. It's great to be with all of you this morning. And I just want to riff a little bit on last night as well. From a Milwaukee perspective, obviously, I would have loved to have had everybody here with all the excitement and the pageantry. And I was thinking how odd it was. I was actually with my wife out taking a walk and live streaming it on my phone. And I thought, well, this is convention 2020 as I'm live streaming through the neighborhood listening to this. But it's really exciting to see everything that happened last night. I thought the speakers were phenomenal. I thought, first of all, I got to give a shout out to Gwen Moore, the queen of the convention. She did a fabulous job, obviously brought a lot of energy to it. And we were all so proud to see her speak last night. But then people like John Kasich, obviously other Republicans who were there. I think the commitment to diversity, I think, was on full display, which was very, very important because that's our heart and soul. And of course, listening to Bernie and the First Lady, I thought that was an amazing 1-2 punch to end the evening because they were so effective. And that's exactly where I want to pick up, because as much fun as it is to go to these conventions and to experience it, we know that the real prize is what happens November 3rd. And so I wanna take a minute to talk about some of the preparations that are going on right now in the city of Milwaukee and throughout the state to make sure that we do not have a duplication of what we saw 4 years ago. And I think the way we avoid that is by increasing the turnout in the state of Wisconsin and making it more accessible for people to vote. At the same time, I think everybody on this call is well aware of the fact that President Trump has basically mounted a full-scale attack on voting by mail with his criticisms of it. I think the actions he's taken with the Postal Service have really put into question what his commitment is to the Postal Service, not just for this election, but for the Postal Service that serves urban areas and rural areas in this country and has done so for hundreds of years. And that's why Speaker Pelosi has called the Congress back. And I can tell you, having served in Congress, just how rare it is in August to be called back by the Speaker. That doesn't happen unless it's very, very serious. And the fact that she's saying that the Congress is going to potentially be coming back this Saturday tells you how serious it is. But we have not been sitting on our hands. And I think everybody on this call will be pleased to know that the mayors of the five largest cities in Wisconsin, Milwaukee, Madison, Green Bay, Racine, and Kenosha, have been working together with a civic group. So this is a nonpartisan effort, complete nonpartisan effort, to secure funding for the fall election to make sure that we can have a fair election, an honest election, and a safe election, not to mention a reliable election. And so we have been meeting on a regular basis and submitted a grant request that was granted. And this is an organization that is working throughout the nation to try to make sure that we've got fair elections and make sure that we have the resources to do it. So we submitted a grant for about $6.3 million and we were funded every penny. So what does that mean? What does that mean? Some of you are aware in Milwaukee, we had lots of challenges in the April election. And the reasons for those challenges were because of the stay at home order was issued right before the election essentially started. And we were literally losing hundreds of poll workers by the hour. Literally hundreds of poll workers by the hour. And it put me in a very difficult ethical situation where we were losing them primarily in the neighborhoods that were hardest hit by COVID-19. And so it was very difficult to say, okay, let's ask the same people in the neighborhood where COVID-19 is running rampant to go sit in a polling place for 14 hours. And that was what led to the dramatic changes that we saw. That coupled with the last minute changes by the Wisconsin Supreme Court and the US Supreme Court obviously put that election in disarray. And I've never in my political career seen a state Supreme Court and the US Supreme Court acting on a case essentially 18 hours before the election began, changing the very, very ground rules of that election. But we decided, the mayors decided that we would work now with our common councils and others to ensure that we have full access. So a couple of very, very important changes that I think are important for everybody to know here as you go around the state. Clearly, recruiting poll workers is a big issue. Most of the workers are over 60, many of them are over 70. And we don't want people who are in that age group to be susceptible, because they're susceptible, we don't want them to be sitting in polling places for 14 hours. So we're putting a big push on it. We've dramatically increased the per diem from $130 a day to $230 a day to bring young people in to work the polls. In addition, and again, this is really relevant, is we've put in an order for some 14, 15, I don't know the exact number, drop boxes so that people, rather than putting their ballots once they fill them out in the mail, can drop them off at libraries and other places around the city of Milwaukee. These are secure lock boxes. So as hard as the president is working to make it less appealing for people to use absentee balloting, we are doing everything we can to make it convenient for people because of the health reasons, because of COVID-19, because it's the right thing to do. And we all, and again, I'm really getting in the weeds here because I think, as much fun as all of this convention stuff is, this is about what's going to happen on November 3rd. And so we have to recognize that the actual voting is going to be beginning 2 weeks out and that we have to help people make sure that they witness their ballots correctly, make sure they fill in the address correctly. Those are ways that people lose their votes. And so we are committed to doing everything we can to have a marriage between our health department and our election commission. And so I think that one of the things that should come out of this convention is that we have tutorials for all the people on this call and others so that they know these rules because they are so important. We don't want people to lose it. So again, I love the speeches. I love the pageantry, but I know there's a lot of work to be done. And that's what we're doing on the ground in Milwaukee and in the other cities in the state of Wisconsin. So thank you for allowing me to crash the breakfast. I feel like I should be eating my Raisin Crunch in front of you because it's we're all virtually together. But let's hope for a great night tonight and tomorrow, and then of course Thursday for the big wrap up. Back to you, Felicia.
Thank you, Mayor Baird. We really appreciate that. And now it is my distinct honor to introduce to all of you someone who is familiar to us all, our DNC chairman, Tom Perez, the son of immigrants from the Dominican Republic. Tom grew up in Buffalo, New York, where he learned the values of a union town: hard work, integrity, service, and perseverance. We have that in common. And after putting himself through college with Pell Grants and working on the back of a garbage truck, Tom passed up offers from white shoe law firms. And instead of choosing to start his career as a civil rights attorney, wow, we need it then and we need it today. Think about that. For the US Justice Department, prosecuting racially motivated hate crimes. Wow, years later, we're still in the same spot. For the past 8 years, Tom had the privilege of serving in President Obama's administration, first as the head of the department's Civil Rights Division, where he led the charge against police misconduct, voter suppression, anti-LGBTQ discrimination, and immigrant bashing sheriff's departments. Then as Secretary of Labor, fighting to protect and expand opportunities for Americans, for America's working people, from better wages and overtime to retirement security and collective bargaining rights. Tom's strongest roots are in local organizing. In 2002, he became the first Latino elected to the Montgomery County Council, and as board president of CASA de Maryland, excuse me. Tom helped grow the organization from a small service provider in the basement of a church to one of the largest immigrant advocacy groups in Mid-Atlantic. Tom is, as we can see, we hear this narrative throughout his life and throughout his professional history, and he's coming full circle again, front and center, leading the DNC. I introduce to you our DNC chair, Tom Perez.
Hey, good morning, Felicia. Good morning, everyone. It's great to see you. I am sitting here in the heart of downtown Milwaukee. I'll be here all week, and I've been here for a while, and I'm thrilled to be here. Thank you, Ben Wickler, my good friend and great party leader, the entire Democratic Party of Wisconsin. I want to say a special thank you to you. I look at how far we have come over the last 3.5 years together. So much progress, so much to highlight from the 2018 cycle, sweeping all the statewides. And it was truly a team effort. And we're proud to ride sidecar under your leadership. Mayor Barrett has been such a good friend throughout. Mayor, thank you for everything you do. This has been an unprecedented time, and I don't know if Governor Evers or anyone from his office is on the line. I want to have a special shout out for them as well. These are no ordinary times, and you have been so resilient. I mentioned to a few people yesterday, we chose Milwaukee for the convention, and Milwaukee was the underdog, let's face it. But you put a great presentation together, and everything you promised you'd do, you've delivered. You've been a spectacular partner. And somebody told me before the selection, he said, Tom, the thing you have to understand is that the unexpected happens in every convention, and it really puts a premium on having a good partner. Now, let me be clear. I don't think that person was anticipating a pandemic, but I remember that vividly. And one of the things that tipped the balance was just a very strong sense I had that if the unexpected did happen, we would have great partners and we would work through everything together. And that's exactly what's happened. I wish we were all downtown here. I keep telling people in other state delegations, well, it's about 71, 10% humidity. Bring a sweater in the morning. take it off in the daytime, put it back at night. And back in DC, where we're in the swamp right now, you know, people tell me, Tom, don't tell me about the weather anymore. I don't want to hear it. And so we know we all want to be here, but we also know that public health demands that we follow that, and we didn't want to put anyone in harm's way. And I again want to say thank you. But we continue to be anchored in here in Milwaukee. We saw Gwen Moore last night. She was spectacular. I want to thank your entire Democratic delegation. Mark Pocan is just such a remarkable partner. We're going to increase the number of Democrats from the Wisconsin delegation. We're going to keep working on that. It's been a joy to work with him. I've worked with Ron Kind for a number of years, dating back to my labor secretary days. And Ron, if you're on this, thanks for your friendship as well. And, you know, you're going to see more speakers from Wisconsin. There's no state more represented on this convention in terms of the speaking than the state of Wisconsin. I'll be speaking tonight. One of the things I asked my team to do is, you know, we got a few flags there, but I wanted the Wisconsin flags there as well when I speak. Next week will be my 32nd wedding anniversary. Got married at St. Bernard's Catholic Church in Wauwatosa and had our reception down at the Renaissance Place on the east side of Milwaukee. So Milwaukee will always be near and dear to my heart. And we are working our tails off. I hope you were inspired by last night. I sure was. We highlighted our diversity. We highlighted everything we were doing as a party. We highlighted the breadth of our coalition. We highlighted ordinary people doing extraordinary things. I don't know if you remember the woman from Arizona who said, you know, the only pre-existing condition my father had was he trusted Donald Trump. That really resonated with me because I've met a number of Wisconsinites who did support Donald Trump. After having supported Barack Obama, they trusted him to have their back, and now they understand that he had a knife in their back. And I'll tell you, the organizing that you have done has been indispensably valuable. When April hit, people were wondering what's going to happen. And the work that was done in 2019, knocking on almost 300,000 doors, that was indispensable to the success in 2020. And I chose Milwaukee at the end for the convention because I wanted to do everything possible to give us an edge here in Wisconsin. I still believe that the road to success on November the 3rd runs through this great state. And I'll tell you, the infrastructure, the coordinated campaign that's in place, Senator Baldwin has been such a great friend. And one of the many things that she brings to the table is she's had such a great team. And you look at the coordinated campaign and the work that they're doing side by side with Ben, it's really remarkable. I've been heavily involved on a personal level in the lawsuit because we saw the indispensable success of that lawsuit in April, allowing, and if the judge hadn't given us that one remedy of moving, allowing votes that have been postmarked by primary election day and received within a week to be counted, that one remedy enabled, as you know, over 90,000 people to be enfranchised. And we're fighting to have that remedy this November. And toward that end, one of the people I reached out to a few months ago was the former deputy postmaster general, who frankly left after this idiot came on. And he's an insider. He's really talented. And frankly, he's become, I think, our star witness because he was able to lay bare for the judge in this case. And you ought to read what he said. He was able to lay bare for the judge exactly what's going on at the Postal Service. I think we're going to win at the trial level. And frankly, every time Donald Trump attacks vote by mail, he makes our record that much stronger. And so we are all in on that. I told Ben, we will pay every penny of that litigation because if we're able to enfranchise that many people, that will be priceless this November. And so we're going to keep working. I look forward to that decision coming up. We're not going anywhere, folks. We are all in this together with you. I am so impressed. And I've said to the leadership of the Biden campaign, what you have and what we have in Wisconsin is really, really spectacular. So thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for your resilience. Thank you for your stick-to-itiveness. This has been the shortest distance theory took a beating over the last 18 months, but your resilience is enabling us to soldier through, and the infrastructure that you have built, and we've been proud to invest, we've invested more than ever before, is going to enable us, I think, to win this state. I have every confidence that we can win this state, thanks to the leadership of everybody on this phone, on this Zoom call. So again, looking forward to tonight, where we're going to continue to make the case for Democrats up and down the ticket. And I think it's going to be another exciting night. The call of the roll is going to be something you should really keep an eye on. The first state, we're going to do it alphabetically with a couple exceptions. Wisconsin's going to get to go second last because we always have the state of the president go last. Watch the first state, though. I think the entire thing you're going to be really, really inspired by, because we go to a lot of iconic sites. And I think it'll really capture your attention. So thank you so much for having me. And if I have to go and do a CNN hit, and I know Ben wanted to say something really quickly. And so Ben, if I could just turn to you for 60 seconds, I'd love to hear from you.
Thank you so much, Chairman Perez. I just want everyone on this call to know, while Chairman Perez is here, there's never been a greater champion of Wisconsin at the DNC than Tom Perez. He has fought every step of the way since coming into his role, since getting elected as a champion of Wisconsin, supporting us, making sure we had funding for rural organizers, youth organizers, organizers in the north and south side of Milwaukee, voter protection staff, communications team that has put a hurt on this administration so that Wisconsinites know what he has done, working with us, partnering in the case that went all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. And he's been a personal friend and mentor to me, and I think to a lot of us here in Wisconsin. We're just so grateful. And your decision to put the convention here and to fight for it to stay here every step of the way has been such an extraordinary thing for our state. So on behalf of Wisconsin, thank you for bringing the convention to Milwaukee. A virtual convention just means that many more people are participating across the country. We're doing this safely in a way that conveys our values, and that reflects how everything you do walks out your values in real life. And we're so grateful for it. So thank you. Have a great CNN hit, and thanks for joining us.
And I'll be speaking tonight. Can't wait.
All right, yes. Good luck with your speech tonight. We can't wait to cheer you on.
Thank you.
So folks, Wisconsin is a very unusual state in that we not only have a deeply Wisconsin-rooted national DNC chair, we also have a secretary of the Democratic National Committee elected from Wisconsin. He was the youngest ever member elected to the Democratic National Committee some time ago. He has been a core part of our state party here in Wisconsin, and he will actually be playing a central role tonight. And I'm so excited to introduce folks. This came up on last night's after convention chat, how exciting it would be to hear from him directly. Thank you so much for joining us, Jason Ray.
Well, good morning. Thanks, Ben. It is great to be with all of you this morning and see so many familiar faces on this Zoom. So first of all, happy convention week to everyone. This is an unconventional convention. I know I was looking forward to getting to see many of you again. This is my fifth convention that I've attended. And as I look at this Zoom, I see some of you who I've been at all five with. So thank you all for first your service to the party and running for a delegate position, for being involved as a standing committee member or an alternate. Your service to the party really is appreciated. And a particular thank you to Ben and Nellie and the entire team at the state party for all of their work in helping get all the ballots turned in. I know voting was done in a different way than normal. Normally we're collecting ballots and voting at this breakfast on the Tuesday morning. And for the 2 weeks ahead of time, you all participated actively that way. So we're so thankful for all of your work. But last night was truly a remarkable night. And I know that tonight will be as well. I'm really honored to get to serve as the secretary for the Democratic National Committee and the secretary for the Democratic National Convention. And in that role, have the distinct honor and privilege to help direct tonight's roll call of states. This is always a highlight of convention, and I think it will be for all of you. You heard Chair Perez mention it briefly, but it's going to be a reimagined roll call that's really going to take convention viewers to all 57 states and territories. It isn't going to be like the roll calls you've seen in the past, but it's going to be something different and something really special. So over the course of about 30 minutes, you're going to meet people who are overcoming the chaos and crisis of Donald Trump and who are fighting for a better America. You're going to hear from delegates, parents, teachers, small business owners, essential workers, activists, elected officials, and so many others who are sharing the story of what our party is and who we are and what we're going to fight for. I'm really excited that our own Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes is going to help deliver Wisconsin's votes to help nominate Joe Biden. But I'm excited to be at the Wisconsin Center tonight to help kick it off live from the center. So hope that you will tune in and be a part of tonight's reimagined roll call process. As someone who got his start up in Barron County back in high school, getting to play this role tonight is really special to me. And I just wish I could have shared it with all of you in person, but look forward to connecting virtually and continuing to have a wonderful convention week. So thanks, Ben, for the quick opportunity to jump on. I've got to jump here in a second to another meeting as well. It's even though we are virtual, it's nonstop convention week activity. So thanks, everybody. Look forward to seeing you soon.
Thank you so much, Secretary Ray. And it's pretty exciting to have both the convention virtually anchored in Wisconsin and to have the roll called from Wisconsin and to have the place of honor in that roll call. I was talking yesterday to Tom Perez. I know that Jason is the same way. Senior leadership of the DNC has been just working to find every possible way to make sure that even in the middle of this pandemic, even with all the safety precautions, this is a Wisconsin anchored convention. So thank you, Jason. I really appreciate you joining us today and for all your leadership in the party, in our state, and in the country. We have a huge day today. I'm gonna take a hot second to rip through the schedule, and then I'm gonna kick it for a brief cameo to the amazing executive director of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, who's doing something historic and extraordinary throughout this convention. So just so that everybody knows, today there is a packed lineup of council and caucus meetings. The rural caucus begins at 11. Senior caucus, LGBT caucus, same time, 11:30. The Muslim Delegates Assembly, 12. Small Business Council, 1. Disability Council, Jewish American Community at 2. The Youth Council at 2:30. The Native American Caucus at 3. The Caucus on the Environmental Crisis Council meeting, Veterans and Military Families Councils all at 4. There's a Rural Wisconsin Roundtable specifically at 4, which I'm really, really excited about. Tonight is a youth vote and climate action happy hour with a stacked lineup of amazing Wisconsinites. And there's so many more. I wish we could pack in everybody. And then tonight we have the West Wing Weekly Reunion Show with Bradley Whitford, Josh Molina, and the amazing actress who I keep thinking of as Donna Moss, but that is actually just her character's name. I'm just moving quickly here. You should definitely come to that right before primetime. But also during today, there's something historic that is going on in day 2 of Campaign Academy 2020. So Nelly, I would love it if you could bring us up to speed about that.
Had to unmute myself there. Thank you, Chair Wickler. So we have day two of Campaign Academy 2020. This is a historic and unprecedented level of training. We are truly putting small d democracy back into the Democratic National Convention. Yesterday in our Campaign Academy, we had over 15,000 views all across the country. We are training Democrats all across the country. And what better team to do that work than the team that the New York Times said wrote the pandemic playbook for the election. So we are honored to be partnering with ARENA as well as Biden for President, and we are the on the official schedule for the Democratic National Convention. Today we're going to go into the foundations of organizing, learn everything that folks need in order to persuade, register, and turn out voters to get the win for Joe Biden in November. So please check us out at wisdems.org/DNC. wisdems.org/DNC. And for anyone that is doing work, 9 to 5, family things today, we will make sure that these training videos are available for you all as delegates and for our WISDEMS members after the training. But do try to join us today, wisdems.org/DNC. And we have an extraordinary special guest this morning. Governor Evers is kicking off the organizing training. So please do join us. Thanks, Ben.
Thanks, Nelly. Oh, one question. Who's emceeing the training today? If you can't see the hand gesture, Nelly Sires will be the MC of the training today. Folks might know her previous life, nationally recognized trainer, vice president for training at the Management Center, one of the premier progressive trainers in the United States of America, happens to be the architect of this training operation, something that I'm so proud of our party and specifically of Nelly's work and everyone who's poured themselves into making this happen. The I in our WISCO plan was inspire, recruit, train thousands of volunteers during the Democratic National Convention, and that is happening. We now have a special guest whom you might know from the under a different name. You might know him as Ben Wyatt from the NBC sitcom Parks and Recreation, for which he was nominated for the Critics' Choice Television Award for Best Actor in a Comedy Series. You've also seen him in a variety of movies. You've also seen him on the internet, where he has an extraordinary presence. I'm very excited to introduce friend of Wisconsin, Adam Scott.
Hi, guys. How's it going? Listen, Wisconsin delegates, my goodness. Thank you so, so much. Hi, Ben.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me this morning. You know, this is obviously such an important time, and what you guys showed this year after, you know, in 2016, Trump winning by less than a point, and then coming back in 2018, winning the governorship. But then this year is going to, I think Wisconsin is going to go down in history in April of this year as a dress rehearsal for showing that that no matter what the GOP throws at us, we can and we will win. So I think every Wisconsin Democrat deserves a huge thanks from the rest of the country. And, you know, I think also, you know, everyone here is well aware of everything that's going wrong right now in our country, what a tough time this is. So just the fact that you are all working as hard as you are, you just deserve our thanks. And I just wanted to come on and thank you. And, you know, on the show, on Parks and Recreation, we had Vice President Biden on a couple of times, and Dr. Jill Biden came on an episode as well. And Ben just had reminded me about this, about the second time Vice President Biden was on. We were shooting actually in the vice presidential mansion, and we were there. We were going to shoot a scene with he and Dr. Biden. And they were held up at an event. And so we were just waiting there for a while, some of the actors and the crew. And it was really nice. It was a beautiful, we're just kind of finding different places to sit around and hang out. And at one point we were in the actual house waiting. And I remember Aubrey Plaza, one of the other actors on the show, falling asleep on the couch. And I just got up and started sort of wandering around, sort of poking around the vice presidential mansion. Not sure if it was okay, but I was just going to see what I could kind of look at in this incredible, incredible historic house. And so I found myself in a study of sorts, kind of near the entrance of the mansion. And I kind of went in there looking around, not sure if it was okay, but no one seemed to mind that I was in there. And there was a coffee table in front of this couch, and I saw a photo album just sitting there. And I went in and picked it up and again looked around. It seemed okay. And I opened it and I realized what I was looking at was Vice President Biden's personal photo album of the 2009 inauguration from January 2009 with all his personal photos and inscriptions. And I was kind of standing there by myself going through page by page this incredible, what ended up being this historic document, but also extremely personal. And I was sort of just lost in this photo album when all of a sudden someone grabbed me from behind and just suddenly just said, "Hey, drop that photo album right now." And I turned around and it was Vice President Biden. and he then kind of grabbed it and showed me a couple photos and gave me a nice story or two. And it kind of just goes to show what a lovely, congenial, nice person he is. And the little time I've spent with the vice president working on the show and behind the scenes on the show and just chatting with him, he's, as I'm sure some of you know, as lovely and intelligent and engaged a person as you would want in a leader. And so I think that we have a ticket here that we can be just so incredibly excited about. I know I am more excited than I've been in a long time. And I just want to thank all of you for working as hard as you can. And it's, I'm sure you're sick of hearing Wisconsin may be the most important state in the upcoming election. So goes Wisconsin, so goes the country. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Adam. Can I ask, how did you first become engaged in politics? On this call, there's a whole bunch of political junkies, and you're pursuing a different career, but you're throwing yourself into this election. So how did that happen?
You know, I grew up with parents who were really engaged, and you know, growing up in the 80s and 90s, it was Reagan and Bush, and my parents being proud Democrats. You know, just sort of, we watched the debates together. We were stayed up on election nights, watching the returns come in, and being the 80s growing up in the 80s, they were all disappointing evenings. But then the first election I was old enough to vote in was getting to vote for Bill Clinton in 1992. But also in high school, I had, you know, that teacher that we hopefully are all lucky enough to have at some point in high school or college. And it was Ron Indra. He was my U.S. history teacher, and he would start every class by just sitting up in front of the class with that day's newspaper, the San Francisco Chronicle, and just going through every single story that was on the front page and analyzing, why is this on the front page? Why didn't they put this on page two or three? Why is this on the front page? And kind of going down and analyzing each story, particularly the political stories. So I knew that every morning I found out that you just look at the front page of the newspaper and there is going to be something there that can hook you in and blow your mind. There is also always something important going on, something worth knowing in the day-to-day life of our country.
Well, thank you. I'm glad that you're so engaged, and I'm glad that you had such an amazing teacher. Adam Scott, ladies and gentlemen, of Parks and Recreation and much, much more. Thank you for joining us here in Wisconsin.
Thank you, Ben. Thanks, everybody.
I also want to say, at a personal note, that story, I grew up also with amazing teachers that pushed me to be politically engaged, and also reading the newspaper and critiquing placement of stories and the experience of media critique, I think has really informed my politics. I also want to note, Duff Martin is on the line with us. He's the president of WEAC, which is our statewide teachers union. And we have just an extraordinary group of educators and folks involved in education, deeply involved in our party. He's a delegate, and a lot of other folks have similar stories. So thank you for reflecting the world-changing significance of educators in building our political team. I want to now throw it over to first Vice Chair Felicia Martin to introduce our next speaker, who will then introduce our next speaker. Over to you, Felicia. Okay. Oh, no. We are in the unmuting process. Appreciate folks bearing with us. Lisa, I'm going to press ask to unmute, and then you'll get a little window that pops up and you can do it. All right, you're on.
Okay, I think we're in business, gang. Thank you so much. And this has been an incredible breakfast thus far, and thanks to our special guest, and it was just amazing. Tammy Baldwin. Wow, what can I say to the Wisconsin delegation about U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin? We know that Senator Baldwin was born and raised right here in Wisconsin. I'm just going to go off script a little bit about Tammy Baldwin, because this is a woman who comes into a room. She's like your neighbor next door. She's so quiet spoken and so kind and thoughtful and caring. And just open. And you think, oh my gosh, this is our US Senator. She's too kind to be in Washington. What can she really do? She's too nice. They're gonna clobber her. And then, oh my gosh, you watch her on that Senate floor, and that steel of spine comes into view, and she bloodies the noses of all of those folks in DC. And I said, gosh, that's my senator. I love her. And I always have my first aid kit ready to help bandage up those she's just cut to pieces. She is so awesome. And I am so thrilled that she is leading that fight to push back against this administration's efforts to destroy the U.S. Postal Service system. She knows how important the U.S. Postal System is to all of us, that it is beyond the mail-in ballot. There are so many of us who expect to get our medications through the mail, who depend on the US mail system for our social security checks and all of the other things that impact our lives on a daily basis. And I'm telling you, I am so proud and so thankful that she represents us here in Wisconsin. And with that spine of steel on front display, every time she takes to that Senate floor, I give to you my Senator, U.S. Tammy Baldwin.
Thank you so much, Felicia Martin. Wow, what an introduction. I really appreciate that. And I've been scrolling through the gallery view and seeing all my friends across the state joining. So yeah, I'm looking at you as you're looking at me. And it's so great to see so many of you. I'm joining once again this morning with the honor of introducing to you one of my dearest friends and colleagues in the United States Senate, and that is Senator Doug Jones. So I hope all of you caught Doug Jones's speech last night. There was one really critical point that I wanted to just draw out, because he made the point that all people want to be treated with dignity and respect and given the same opportunities. No matter where you come from or who you are, we all want to create a better future. And that's something that Doug and I have been fighting for many years. And I'm proud to work alongside him in the United States Senate. He is the former U.S. attorney for the Northern District of Alabama, and now has served as the U.S. senator from Alabama, and he's been fighting for equality his entire life. Doug successfully prosecuted the Klansmen who carried out the 16th Street church bombing in Birmingham, and after many, many, many years, finally brought justice to the families of the four little girls who were murdered. Doug stands for equality and justice, even when it's unpopular. Doug works across the aisle to get things done for Alabamians and is focused on the kitchen table issues that matter to folks in Alabama and everywhere, including Wisconsin. I have worked with him in terms of expanding access to affordable health care, expanding Medicaid, protecting people with pre-existing conditions, supporting quality education, and standing up for our farmers and manufacturers. Alongside Kamala Harris, Doug worked to secure permanent funding for historically Black colleges and universities, and he successfully repealed the military widows tax on Gold Star widows. He knows how to get things done, even when Washington is as divided as it is right now. So I'm so happy to be joined today by my good friend, Doug Jones. He is facing a tough re-election effort this fall, and I know we're gonna do everything we can to help him win in November. He even has a few of my staffers working on his campaign right now, so I know he's in good hands. But take it away, Doug.
Tammy, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. It's great to be with the folks in Wisconsin, even virtually. I was so looking forward to coming up to Milwaukee this year. And unfortunately, things are different. I was looking forward to a Brewers game. I was looking forward to so much up there. But it is what it is. And we are where we are. And we are here in part virtually, I think, because of the lack of leadership that we've seen out of this administration. And we've got to make those changes so that we can come out of this pandemic as quickly as we can, but also come out of it better, stronger, and a more just society. You know, you folks are very fortunate to have Tammy Baldwin in the United States Senate. All of those things she talked about working with me on, it has been not just a delight, but just a learning experience for me. She's a great mentor to help me navigate the things that are going on in the Senate in a difficult time. I mean, you know, I've got that very more moderate voice sometimes in our Democratic caucus, but thanks to Tammy and so many others in that caucus, it's a voice that can be heard to try to help bring all people together one way or another. And that's really what I talked about, you know, last night for those of you that saw. Alabama's got a painful history, but we've got a very hopeful future. I think our election in December of 2017 shows that the voices that we have are really worth fighting for. It's worth standing up, speaking out, to get into that little good trouble that our friend John Lewis kept talking about. And that's what I've tried to do in the state of Alabama. It's tried what I've tried to do in the United States Senate. And thanks to Tammy and so many others, I've had a fair amount of success in being able to get some things done. And, you know, people in Alabama recognize that. You know, I've got an opponent right now that literally, he was a football coach at Auburn for a while before he had to resign. And we all know what that means in the world of football. But the fact is, he literally moved to Alabama after the 2018 election because he wanted to have Donald Trump's back. That's his whole campaign theme. I'll always have Donald Trump's back. So he's not even thought past what's going to happen if President Biden is in there and not Donald Trump. But the fact is, I've always got the people of Alabama's back, just like Tammy Baldwin always has your back. That's the key to, I think, a successful campaign. It's why Tammy won again in 2018. Of course, a couple of the staffers that I've got helped her. They're going to help me again as well. And I appreciate that very much. But that's what the people in the various states look for, somebody that's going to look out for them. And so as I've gone forward in this campaign, we've talked about the military because I am on armed services and Alabama gets a lot of federal dollars. We do a lot in Alabama to support our nation's military. I got a seat on the HELP committee in which we're dealing with this pandemic, and we started dealing with it early on. I've been a real strong advocate for maternal health care and infant mortality. I've been in Alabama, where I was one of the states, and I think Wisconsin's in the same boat, that did not expand Medicaid. And, you know, I have been a vocal proponent of the state expanding Medicaid and have been hoping against hope, really, that Republicans would see the light and help us give states like ours the incentives to expand Medicaid. I think Alabama would do it now. But it's that kind of voice, I think, that people have been looking for. They want not just the authenticity, but they want somebody that's got their back. We're going to stand up. This really is one of unity. I just got off an NPR, the 1A show. And I talked about the fact that what you saw last night with our convention was when you see on Bernie Sanders on one end and John Kasich on the other, with me and Amy and Jim Clyburn and Gretchen Whitmer in the middle. And of course, there's America's favorite rock star, Michelle Obama. That's just she's just on a different planet when it comes to messaging and her sincerity. But what you saw are the diverse voices of America. That's what our party stands for. And it's the same in Alabama. We've got the same kind of diversity in the state. Demographically, we're changing. And so it's so nice to be able to talk to folks in Wisconsin to let folks know that while Alabama has been conservative and red in the last few years, times are a change in the South. And there's a lot of movement. And making the investments that we've been making in the South with me, with the races that we've got going on in Georgia and South Carolina and North Carolina and Mississippi, those are going to be the races that help make, it's going to help define America for a long, long time. I've told people here in the state, I'm unabashed to say, you know, folks, so many of our nation's divisions started in the South, and we can be the place where healing starts as well. And I think we're doing that. We've seen it after George Floyd's death. We're seeing it on the floor of the Senate. And so I'm just happy to be here with you, to talk to you, to give you, you know, look, it is all about our get out the vote effort. And there is no state more important in this presidential race than Wisconsin. We all know it. It is not unsaid. It is not unspoken. We're screaming it from the rooftops. We got to get our votes out. We got to make sure that people understand the significance and that elections have consequences. Getting our folks out makes a difference, and it's going to help me. I'm so excited about my friend Joe Biden, I've known for 40 years, and my other good friend, Kamala Harris. I got tickled the other day when she was there, because I always, every time I see Kamala, her intro to me is always, "Hey, buddy," and that is just who she is. She's also that unifier and that voice, and has that diverse voice across this country that is going to bring people together. So I am happy to hang on for a few minutes, Tammy. I love being with you guys. I just wish and hope at some point we can all get together and be there in person and do those kind of things we're supposed to at a convention. But I'm really happy with the way things are going right now. So thank you. And I guess because I'm an election, after Tammy's intro, I need to conclude by saying I'm Doug Jones and I approve this message. So thank you. Thank you all so very much.
Thank you so much, Senator Jones. It has been so spectacular to watch all of your work. And I was so glad when I was working at MoveOn in my old job to be able to work with you in DC and to welcome you to Wisconsin in this role today. Folks, we're going to have such an exciting day. I want to thank all of our speakers today, Senator Jones, Senator Baldwin, Adam Scott, Jason Ray, Nellie Sires, Tom Perez, Mayor Barrett, the whole lineup today, and Attorney General Josh Call. Thank you all so much for being a part of today's program. And I just want to peek ahead once again. First of all, the Campaign Academy trainings are going to be spectacular. There are 6 to choose from today. So I hope that folks, as well as just soaking in all the amazing speeches, try one of these trainings. They are just great. There's Foundations of Electoral Organizing, The Hard Ask, which is a really good one to go through, Distributed Organizing Teams and Relational Tactics, which is going to be key to this election specifically, Principles of Persuasion Conversations, something that when I was running for chair, so many people wanted to build the skills and the commitment to in our work, Get Out the Vote by Mail, which this year more than ever is central to the strategy, and Cultural Competency and Virtual Campaigning with an organization called Inclusive that specializes in working to build the strength of people of color in campaigning, in Democratic campaign movements. All of these are central to our work. So I hope you'll join and you will see some special guests, videos and appearances by Governor Evers, by Congressman Mark Pocan, who is here with us as a delegate as well today. Hello, Congressman Pocan. Excuse me, and Cory Booker, presidential candidate and the amazing senator from New Jersey. So, and those will be surprises to the people watching them, so don't spill the beans, but I'm very excited about that. I know that Josh Call and Mayor Barrett, Attorney General Call and Mayor Barrett, have also recorded kickoffs for those events. So, Campaign Academy 2020 throughout the day. Then tonight, join us for our West Wing Weekly Reunion Show, where you'll get to relive some of the experience of the real West Wing. You can chip in $1 or more and be a part of that. And then primetime, 8 to 10, and then the post-primetime special social event for this delegation, where together we can relive some of the memories of what we just watched and have the kind of conversation we would normally have as we file out of the convention hall, except this time we'll do it virtually. Then tomorrow morning, I'm so excited. We're actually gonna start earlier. Instead of 8:30, it'll start at 8:00. And there's a reason for that. Tomorrow is a joint Midwest breakfast with our friends from the Democratic Farmer Labor Party in Minnesota, from the Democratic Party of Michigan, and from both South Dakota and North Dakota. So we are having a mega five-state Midwest delegate breakfast. You will see the faces of a bunch of amazing delegates from other states and an incredible lineup of speakers. So see you throughout the day at all these different events. See you tonight. See you after the thing tonight. And then we will gather again tomorrow at 8 a.m. sharp with coffee in our hands, iced coffee in my case, which I'm almost done with. And that is why I'm perkier now than I was at the beginning of today's breakfast. And I'm just so excited as we move into the next phase of this amazing virtual convention. Thank you, delegates. And let's go have a great day.